The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. Please turn to page 223 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Amen." Since last week, we have been going over Paul's final sermon to the elders of Ephesus. That is his final will and testament. Paul's will begins with the words, "You know," how he survived all sorts of trials and challenges since he first set foot in Asia, and how he served the Lord as a witness of the Lord. In other words, Paul began his will by reminding the elders of Ephesus of the resume of all he had seen and experienced in his life during the past 3 years. This was in order to entreat the elders of Ephesus to live as thus for the Christians scattered across Asia even after he left. And Paul's will continues as follows. Verse 22, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." Paul is leaving his will to the elders of Ephesus and Miletus on his way to Jerusalem. Paul did not decide to go to Jerusalem on his own. He makes it clear that, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. These words mean that the Holy Spirit is compelling him to go to Jerusalem. We can see there is a reason behind Paul's expression here. When Paul left Corinth in order to wrap up his third mission journey, his plan was to deliver aid offerings to the Christians in Jerusalem who were in the midst of famine, and then return to his mission base in Antioch of Syria. According to his plan, Jerusalem was simply a place to pass through before arriving at the final destination of his third mission journey, Antioch of Syria. This was Paul's original goal. But Paul, who left Corinth and journeyed sideways to Syria, to Macedonia, then crossed the Aegean Sea to Troas and Assos, came to realize that God, the Holy Spirit's final goal for his third mission trip, was Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which according to his own plans had been merely a place to pass through, was the Holy Spirit's ultimate destination. At that moment, Paul put his own will aside and accepted the will of the Holy Spirit, making Jerusalem the destination of his third mission trip. And so Paul confessed, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem." Even as Paul was traveling to Jerusalem bound by the Holy Spirit, he said he did not know what will happen to him there. He did not mean that he was walking into some sort of hopeless maze. As long as the Holy Spirit of Truth was guiding him, his final destination could not be a hopeless maze. If we look at verse 23, Paul already knew what would happen in Jerusalem. But he said he did not know what will happen to him there, because he wanted to emphasize through irony that his trip to Jerusalem was not for his own glory or comfort. Verse 23 says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Paul knew that his journey to Jerusalem would be a path beset by trouble and difficulties. This was not just Paul's hunch or foresight. Ever since Paul had left Corinth and traveled through Berea, Thessalonica, Philippi, Neapoli, and Troas, the Holy Spirit had continuously borne witness with his testimony. To bear witness is to tell the truth. Telling a lie is to bear false witness, and bearing false witness in court is punishable as perjury. The testimony that Paul's journey to Jerusalem would be beset by trouble and difficulties was not the testimony of a human being. This was the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And if this was the testimony of the Holy Spirit, then as long as Paul did not give up the journey, he was destined to face trials and difficulties and pain. Paul knew all this, and yet he firmly declared his determination. Verse 24 says, However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. This is Paul's famous confession, which we all know. Paul refers to the road to Jerusalem beset by trials and difficulties as the race. Meaning this is part of his life's journey that he must complete. Paul knew clearly the reason why he was traveling along that path. It was in order to complete the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And he declared that in order to finish the mission of the gospel that the Lord had given to him, he considered his life worth nothing to him. If even his life was worth nothing, then everything else was not even worth mentioning. Paul did not give up on his journey to Jerusalem, even though he knew imprisonment and hardship would be in his path, because this was his heart. But as we read the scripture, we find something strange. Paul says goodbye to the elders of Ephesus at Miletus and departs on his way to Jerusalem. Chapter 21, verses 3 to 4 say, After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Paul's ship anchored at Tyre in Palestine to unload its cargo, and Paul used this opportunity to stay with the disciples there in Tyre for 2 days. The scripture testifies that the disciples of Tyre urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. According to Greek grammar, they did not request him not to go on to Jerusalem. They ordered him not to go. In the original Greek text, the verb lego, meaning to speak, which is translated in Korean as urged, is an infinitive or unfinished form. This shows that the disciples of Tyre did not just order him not to go on to Jerusalem once, but twice. The disciples of Tyre did not issue such an order on their own accord. The scripture shows that they did so through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit had also told the disciples of Tyre that the road Paul was taking to Jerusalem would be a road of trouble and difficulty. Had the disciples not known this, things might have been different. But as long as they knew this, they could not stay still and watch their beloved Paul take the road of trial and difficulty. They repeatedly ordered him not to go to Jerusalem and tried their best to convince him to stop. But Paul refused to listen and left Tyre for Caesarea on the way to Jerusalem. In Caesarea, Paul stayed at Philip's home. In Acts chapter 6, Philip is one of the first 7 deacons the Church of Jerusalem selected in Christian history. While Paul stayed at Philip's home, the prophet Agabus visited Caesarea and sought out Paul at Philip's house. According to Acts chapter 11, verse 28, Agabus was a famous prophet who correctly predicted the great famine that occurred under the emperor Claudius. Chapter 21, verse 11 says, "Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, 'The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles.'" The prophet Agabus took Paul's belt and tied his own hands and feet with it. And he prophesied that in Jerusalem, Paul would be imprisoned in a Roman jail through the accusations of the Jews. The Holy Spirit had, through the prophet Agabus, also told the Christians of Caesarea that Paul's journey to Jerusalem would be a road beset by trial and difficulties. Chapter 21, verse 12 says, "When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem." When they heard Agabus's prophecy, Philip's family and the disciples in Caesarea and Paul's comrades, who are referred to as we, wept together and tried to stop him from going to Jerusalem. Chapter 21, verse 13 says, "Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" But Paul did not waver in the least. Paul clearly proclaimed in Caesarea again that he would not value even his life in the slightest when it came to the Lord. Isn't this strange? The Holy Spirit Paul believed in, and the Holy Spirit the Christians of Tyre and Caesarea believed in, were the same. This was the Holy Spirit of the Holy Trinity God. The same Holy Spirit testified to Paul and the Christians of Tyre and Caesarea that Paul's journey to Jerusalem would be a road of trial and difficulty. But the answer Paul gave to that same warning of the Holy Spirit, and the answer given by the Christians of Tyre and Caesarea, were completely different. Because the Holy Spirit warned of trial and difficulty, Paul renewed his firm determination to the death. In Korean, 일사가고, that he would not value his life even in the slightest, not to mention everything else he owned, in the service of the Lord. In contrast, the Christians of Tyre and Caesarea thought that because the Holy Spirit warned of trial and difficulty, they should of course try to stop Paul from going to Jerusalem, and wept in their efforts to do so. Where does this tremendous contrast come from? It comes from the correct understanding of the difference between the Holy Trinity God and oneself. Do you know the difference between finite time and endless time? Endless time perceives finite time, but finite time cannot perceive endless time. If endless time can be perceived by finite time, it is only a larger form of finite time, and it cannot be endless time. Can you understand the difference between a fleeting moment and eternity? Eternity can see a moment, but a moment cannot even imagine eternity. Finite time and a moment come to an end, but endless time and eternity have no end. That which has an end cannot see or know or imagine that which has no end. And so human beings who are finite and are but creations of the moment can never hope to wholly understand the Creator God who is endless and eternal. Until the day humans die, we are beings who, through the word of the Bible, continue to come to know the Holy Trinity, God. This is where we need faith. If we can, through reason or our five senses, wholly understand the Holy Trinity God, God becomes only the object of possession or investigation. But the Holy Trinity God is a great being who cannot be understood simply through our reason or intellect or five senses. So we are owned by Him, and He is the object of our faith. The Christians of Tyre and Caesarea, when they heard the Holy Spirit warning of trial and difficulty for Paul's journey to Jerusalem, were entirely sure in their united conviction that they needed to stop him. Since the Holy Spirit had testified as such, Paul was going to suffer death and trial and pain. And they decided that the best they could do in such a situation was to stop Paul from going. They were also Christians who believed in the Holy Trinity God. But they thought eternal and endless God was a finite being of the moment like them. They had trapped God inside their thoughts and judgment and tried to own Him. So they did not once try to humbly think or accept in faith the will of eternal and endless God. Why he was leading Paul on this path of trial and difficulty. Instead, they thought their own worldly judgment as finite human beings of the moment was God's will, and stood in the way of Paul on his journey to Jerusalem while he was led by the Holy Spirit. This was not true faith in the eternal and endless God. On the other hand, Paul was wholly owned by God, living always under the rule of God. This was because he knew and believed that the Holy Trinity God was eternal and endless, fundamentally different from himself, who was a finite human being of the moment. So Paul received the same testimony of the Holy Spirit in an entirely different way. To Paul, the warning of trial and tribulation by the Holy Spirit was a subtle proposition. Paul, the road you will have to travel from now on is not a road of worldly advancement and success. On this road, you will be imprisoned because of me and experience all sorts of trials and difficulties. But Paul, I have faith that you will finish this race to the end for me. The eternal and endless Holy Trinity God had called him and had faith in him. Why be afraid? The eternal and endless Holy Trinity God was personally leading him to Jerusalem. What was there to avoid? And so Paul heeded the call of God and gave him everything he owned without hesitation, including his own finite life. This is the model of true faith. Paul's attitude makes us realize the relationship between our will and our faith. Originally, Paul's will when he left Corinth was to pass through Jerusalem and return to his mission base in Antioch of Syria. But Paul realized the Holy Spirit's goal for his third mission journey was Jerusalem, and without hesitation laid down his will to return to Antioch of Syria. And at the warning of the Holy Spirit that the road to Jerusalem would be beset by trial and difficulty, he made a resolution of will that he would not spare even his life to finish that road. Paul showed his will in front of God through self-denial on one hand, and through firm resolution on the other, that he would not spare even his own life. To Paul, faith was at once denial of his own will as well as resolution toward his own calling. True faith is to put down one's own self-centered will in the face of the will of God. This does not mean we live as people without will afterwards. Christians give up their own self-centered will in front of God because they realize the will of the endless and eternal God, whose will is fundamentally different from their own. So Christians who put down their own self-centered will in front of God afterwards commit their will to fulfilling God's will. A Christian life must always incorporate this duality of will. A Christian who does not deny his own will can only make the mistake of trying to own God. And a Christian who does not make the resolution of will to carry out the will of God can only end up with delusional faith. Change in this world comes from the lives of Christians, not delusions in our heads. Duality of will is impossible, and people who try to look down upon the Holy Trinity God through their own will. Even without knowing, such people own God, and through their own will, use God's word to strengthen their own will. The Christians of Tyre and Caesarea, who heard the warning of the Holy Spirit, but instead tried to block Paul's path to Jerusalem, were a good example. Duality of will is only possible for those who use their will to look up to the Holy Trinity God. Only those who use their own will as a tool to come to know the eternal and endless God better can, on the one hand, give up their own self-centered will, and on the other, make the resolution of will to sacrifice even one's life at the call of God. Paul, in our scripture today, was like that. As a result, he was put to death by beheading, but he lives on today, an eternal and endless God. Next time, we will think about this in greater depth. But as long as we live in our bodies, we face all sorts of trials and challenges in our path. When we try to avoid these trials and challenges, we make the mistake of using our own will to avoid the Holy Trinity God who leads us on this path. This is the greatest misfortune that can befall a Christian. God, who is already within us in spirit and embraces us in His Word, is the eternal and endless Holy Trinity God. Let us, who are but finite beings of the moment, put down our self-centered will every day before Him. And at the same time, let us every day, even though the path be filled with trials and challenges, respond to the call of an endless and eternal God by resolving our wills to sacrifice our finite lives of the moment. In this duality of will lies the true joy of faith, the expansion of life, and the resurrection that defeats even death. Let us pray. Endless and eternal God, forgive our finite selves of the moment who believed in our faithlessness that you were like us. Let us not forget that avoiding the path filled with trials and challenges is to avoid the Holy Trinity God who led us on that road. Let us not look down upon you through our own will, but allow us the humility of looking up to you. And so allow us duality of will, so that on one hand we may put down our self-centered wills in front of God, and on the other, we may resolve our wills to sacrifice our finite lives of the moment to God's call. and lead us so that our lives may in this land of despair be used as channels of hope in God. In your name we pray. Amen.